You know, all this is wonderful. We love, this is my favorite time of year with our church family, coming together to share a wonderful food, wonderful time, wonderful fellowship. But the reason for this season is we can't forget what that is. And it's to give thanks. It's to give thanks, guys. You know, it's not just about the food. We don't want to forget why this holiday, it's our national holiday. We don't want to forget why this holiday has been established. When I was on my very first missionary trip with Nancy and Roger, it happened to fall over the Thanksgiving holiday. That was, and our kids were small then, but God worked it out. It was the time for me to go with them, and it was over Thanksgiving, and so that was about a two week trip, I'm guessing about 2 weeks it was, and so I left my children with Gary. Gary became Mr. Mom for those 2 weeks, and I had to figure out which restaurants were having kids' night. So, you know, we knew Tuesday was Friendly's or Wednesday's was another. So he would know where he could take the kids each night so they would eat something other than opened can of baked beans. That was his favorite. You know, whenever he needed to make a meal, he'd open up a can of baked beans. But anyway, they survived. But you know, when we were down there in Mexico during that time, the Mexicans, they don't celebrate our Thanksgiving holiday. But we did, right? We had an awesome feast, and we invited some of the Mexicans to enjoy it with us. It was a wonderful time. It was a little bit interesting because we were at higher elevation and things had to be made a little bit differently. We're not used to that here, but anyway, we had an awesome, awesome time. But the point is that this is a United States national holiday, Thanksgiving. And so we want to focus on that today. So this holiday is not just about coming together to share a great meal or to share just all the, you know, we're happy to indulge in that. Don't get me wrong. I just love all that. But the purpose of this holiday is rooted in something that took place in this country back in the 1600s. When the pilgrims set out from England to come here to America, they were seeking religious freedom. And so after surviving a very harsh winter, and with the help of some of the Native Americans, and after learning how to plant new crops and for them to reap a harvest, it was then that the surviving pilgrims and the Native Americans who befriended them, they came together for the purpose of giving thanks to God. That was the purpose, for his protection over them, for his provision for them. That was the purpose of it. So hence the name of the national holiday, Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And so the purpose is to give thanks to God for his helpful hand, for all that he's done for us. You know, over the years, Gary and I have shared a lot of facts about Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. And so Gary's a historian, you know, he's big on history. So we've shared a lot of facts over the years, especially about that first Thanksgiving. So we believe that it's very important to remember why we have that holiday. It's to give thanks to God for who he is and all he's done for us. That's what those pilgrims were doing that very first Thanksgiving. They were giving thanks to God. They were alive. God provided all that they needed. But why is it important for us as Americans to remember? It's because God's hand, he had his hand on this nation from the very beginning, and he used the pilgrims. He used the pilgrims. You know, if you do a detailed study of all the historical information that we have about the pilgrims, why they left England, why they came here to start a new life, you know, for themselves, how they came here for religious freedom, how they were willing to risk their lives for that freedom, and many lost their lives, and how God provided for them in miraculous ways. We've shared that over the years. We've shared a lot of information. And how that fledgling group of pilgrims survived all that came against them. They were very instrumental in why this country is even here. When you look at all that, when you look at the history, you look at all the details, you gotta see God's hand in it. You gotta. There's no other answer. There's no other solution. You know what the pilgrims were doing that first Thanksgiving is the same thing that the psalmist encourages us to do in Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this: "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise." He says, "Be thankful to him and bless his name." You know, Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to who? God. It's about giving thanks to God. The pilgrims were simply offering their heartfelt thanks to God that they were alive and that God was guiding them to this nation. He gave them provision. He gave them direction. They were thanking him for the friendship of the Native American Indians who helped them survive. And for the harvest that it was a bountiful harvest that would allow them to survive through the next harsh winter. They were thankful for all that. And you got to remember, when all that was going, when they got here, there were no hotels or inns here, you know, for them to have a nice cozy bed to sleep in and a roof over their head. There were no houses. they had to start from scratch. And so they didn't have, you know, meals already prepared for them. They had to go out and hunt and fish. You know, that's what they had to do in order to have food to eat. So those pilgrims, they were actually the original founding fathers of this nation. Before we get into more of the details of that first Thanksgiving, we want to have a little fun. And so as I said, Gary and I have shared a lot of information over the years, and so why all that happened and how these colonies were established here in America. So we're going to see what you remember. For those of you who have been here, we're gonna hand out a piece of paper. Can I get a volunteer to do that, or two volunteers to do that? Anybody? Ralph or any? Thank you. Just hand out. Everyone, get a piece of paper, please. And if you need a pen or pencil, we can hand those out. If you could just number 1 to 10 down the side of your paper, 1 to 10. No one's going to grade this, okay? We're not grading it. Gary's going to ask you a bunch of questions about that first Thanksgiving. Those are things that we taught over the years. You know, we teach a lot of history from this pulpit because it's part of our it's very part of our country. And so if you were here, you might remember some of these details. If this is your first time you've been here with us, do your best to answer those questions. No one's grading it. You'll grade your own paper. Okay. We do have a prize for the one who remembers the most facts. Okay. And Gary will take care of that. But come on in and sit down, and I'm gonna let him do that. He'll handle those questions for you. So we're gonna test your memory. Gary will give you the questions, answer them to the best of your ability. If anyone needs a pen or a pencil, everyone got a pen or a pencil to sign, to write on? Everyone's good? Okay. We're going to test your memory. How much do you know about that first Thanksgiving? Okay. Mr. Butts, would you like to take to the podium? Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you. We're being quizzed. We're going to be quiz guys on the very first Thanksgiving, okay? So answer the questions the best way that you know how, all right? No one's going to grade your paper. You're going to grade your paper yourself. The one who gets the most answers right wins a prize. All right, let's go.
And as an incentive, there is a prize here. The prize is a Wawa gift card. So you can... It's not a very big one, but you can get a few cups of coffee with it. So, as Rhonda said, just you're going to be grading your own. Don't beat yourself up if you don't know these answers. No one else is going to know that you don't know. Okay. Okay, so the first question is, there's 10 of them. In what year did the Pilgrims arrive in America? Second question is...
Oh. What was the first question? What year did the Pilgrims first arrive?
In America, right. Okay. Okay, and what was the name of the ship that they arrived on? A lot of this we learned in grade school, but probably most of us forgot. Why did the Pilgrims leave their country to come to America, risking much hardship? And there's a couple of reasons that you could have for this. Number four, how long was their voyage at sea? How long did it take them to get here? That would be, look, you could have two numbers for this. Okay. How long did it take them to get here? How many days? How many days, yeah. Okay, how many days? How many pilgrims were on that ship? And here again, there's a range of numbers, depending upon the source you're looking at. Arriving in America. How many pilgrims? Now, we're just talking about the pilgrims, not the crew of the ship. That was question number five. On the voyage to America, this is number six. On the voyage to America, how many people on the ship died? Number seven. What did the Pilgrims name their colony? Number eight, what was the name of the Native American Indian who God sent to the Pilgrims to help them survive that first winter? What was his name? You're giving other people the answer. This is a competition here. Don't give other people the answers. Huh? Who was the governor? Number nine, who was the governor of the colony? His last name will be good enough. All right, last question, number 10. What president proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father in heaven? It was a Thanksgiving Day proclamation. Who was the president? You learn all kinds of things here at Word of Life Church. Okay, are we ready for the answers? You're going to be correcting your own, so please be honest. I mean, it's only a Wawa gift card. Okay? Okay. So anyone know, anyone can say, what year did the pilgrims arrive in America? 1620 is correct. Okay. All right. And what was the name of the ship that they arrived on? Wow. Okay. A lot of people knew that one. A lot of people knew that one. All right. Good. Why did the pilgrims leave their country to come to America? Very good. Both answers are correct. Religious freedom and persecution. Anyone have anything else on that? Peace. They had a problem. They had a lot of issues when they got here. How long were they at sea? How long did it take them to get here?
110 days.
Wow. It was much shorter than the numbers I'm hearing. It was much shorter.
65 days.
65 or 66 would be correct. Yeah. 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 That was a guess?
My original guess was 2 years.
Wow. That was a good guess. 65 or 66 days. Okay. How many pilgrims were on that ship when they arrived in America? Okay, you're all pretty close, but the actual number was 102. There was a baby born on the ship on the way over. And so some sources say 101. I saw one that said 100. But it would be 100, 101, or 102. If you had any of those, that would be the correct.
And the price is right.
Okay, Number six. How many people died during that sea voyage?
50.
During the voyage.
30.
Actually, answer is only one. Is one, and it was a seaman. It wasn't any. All the pilgrims survived. One seaman died. That's all. None. Not on the voyage. They died over that winter, but nobody died on the voyage except for that one seaman. So the answer is one for that.
And what's interesting about that one seaman that died?
He was giving the pilgrims a lot of problems. I mean, he was insulting them because they weren't used to being at sea. And, you know, the seaman was. He was a hardened seaman, and he was constantly berating them and insulting them in any manner that he could. And God took care of that problem. So he died.
So he met the whale. So how many people were on the crew?
The crew had 36. And I'm not sure if that included the captain. Okay. But there were 36 crewmen. And over the winter, half of the crew died. So it was a tough winter. And number eight?
Seven.
Oh, what was the name of the colony? Plymouth is good. Plymouth Rock would be okay. Yeah. Plymouth was the name of the colony. Plymouth. That was number seven. What was your question? The name of the colony. That was the name of the colony, Plymouth. And they named it after the city in England that they left from. So what was the name of the American Indian who God sent to the pilgrims to help them survive?
Squanto.
Squanto is right. Squanto. Very good. Squanto. All right. Toronto. Well, it ends in an O. That was the hint. Okay. All right. So what president proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a day of... Oh, was that number nine? Oh, okay. All right, what was that? Oh, did I miss one? The governor. Who was the governor of the colony?
James.
Is William Bradford or Bradford was the correct answer. Yeah. Yeah. All right. And last question. What was the president? Who was the president that... It was Abraham Lincoln, right. He made it that day. And that was in 1863... And that was in the middle of the Civil War. So, did anybody get them all right? Nine? Anyone have nine right? Nine? How about eight? Anyone get eight right? Seven? Six? Six? We got a six? We have a six? You got a six? Anyone get more than six right? Do we have two people that got six right? Okay, we need a tiebreaker, huh? I just gave my tiebreaker away. I have to get another tiebreaker.
This might help you. I missed question four by 6 days. I had 60 days, and the answer was 66. Maybe do it that way.
Oh, who's the closest?
Oh, wait, you were one of the ones that had six. A runoff. We had a runoff. What's that? Well, there was a lot on that. Let's do it this way. We only have one. do you want to split it? let's see. What's a tiebreaker? Oh, here's one. Here's one. Closest one to the number will win the prize. Okay. Okay, over the winter, a large number of the pilgrims died, like more than half of them died, and half the crew of the Mayflower died. How many women survived the winter? So the closest would be who gets it. How many women survived the winter? They were especially hard hit. No, you're not one of the... Who's that? That was a female voice there. Just the tiebreakers.
Jesse and Gary, right? Jesse and Gary?
Ten women.
Ten.
Okay, ten. Gary, you have a guess?
I'm going to say
20. Okay, the answer is four. So, Jesse, right. You got the winner. You got the winner?
Jesse's okay. Yay!
All right.
Woo! Okay.
Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness. You know, ooh, that was fun. That was fun. Absolutely, that was fun. Awesome. You know, it's important to remember why do we have this national holiday? Why do we have it? Where did it come from? What was the root of it all? And the root was, it's actually started with those pilgrims. And so Gary and I have been blessed to have our three grandchildren with us all week this week. Ha! We only had one trip to the emergency room. We were doing pretty good. But anyway, we had all three children, and our nine-year-old grandson was with us. And of course, we had to help him with his homework. And he comes home with his spelling words. And the spelling words are vegetables, pilgrim, stuffing, cranberry, centerpiece, delicious, grateful, tradition, England, Squanto, Thursday, settler, November, colony, squash, celebration, feast, turkey, corn. Nothing in there. I mean, this is great. All, you know, we know all the details about that first Thanksgiving, but why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? It's to give thanks to God. Nothing in here about it. The reason for the holiday. Nothing. We're thankful for those pilgrims. Don't get me wrong. But it's what they did that first Thanksgiving why we have our national holidays to give thanks to God. So actually, the story of Thanksgiving and the pilgrims actually begins in England. The pilgrims were not called pilgrims back then. That title came a little bit later, and I'm going to share that with you in a few moments. The pilgrims were a group of Christians, predominantly, who wanted to purify the Church of England. The Church of England had become very corrupt in the 1500s, and there was a group of Christians, they were known as the Puritans. They no longer want to remain a part of the Catholic Church, that Church of England. And so They wanted religious freedom to be able to come and worship God the way that they felt that they should be worshiping God, as Scripture indicated. And so they also wanted to raise their children on sound biblical teachings. They didn't want to honor the Catholic practices, you know, praying to saints. They want to pray to Jesus. And so that's why they came here. And so some of those Christians, they decided to separate themselves from that church and all the religious persecution that followed. And so in England, these separatists, they would be arrested and persecuted for refusing to belong to the Church of England. So they were being persecuted. And so the King of England was actually the head of that church, the King of England. And it was considered treason if you weren't part of that church. If you weren't part of that church, that would involve persecution, and it also could mean the death penalty. And so it's from those separatists that these pilgrims that got on the Mayflower, that they emerge. After a lot of persecution, those Puritan separatists, they decided to go to Holland first to start a new life there, because they heard that there was religious freedom there. And after spending a number of years there, they suffered economic hardship. They were having trouble finding jobs. After a lot of discussion, they voted to go to America and start a new life for themselves here. So those pilgrims, they sold all their belongings, they sold their properties, they purchased food and supplies for this 66-day journey that they were going to be on. They secured financial backing in England for the voyage, and they headed to the New World. In September of 1620, that was one of your answers, in September of 1620, 102 individuals crowded onto the Mayflower for that 66-day journey. And we have a replica of the Mayflower here. There is a replica, actually, in New England that we've been on it, actually. So during that voyage, we mentioned that one person died, and it was that crewman who was being very cruel to the pilgrims. And also one baby was born. Then on November 20th, some say the 21st, depending on which source you look at, they sighted land, what is now known as Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And they landed at what is now called Provincetown. When they landed, this is what William Bradford, he was one of the separatists that were on the ship. He wrote this in his journal. We have a picture of William Bradford. You guys were really good. Some of you guys were good with William Bradford's name. Man, that's great memory. I don't remember a whole lot from my studies in high school, but Bradford. This, and I want to go on to the quote that he wrote in his journal. He said, "We fell upon our knees and blessed the God of heaven, who brought us over a vast and furious ocean and delivered us from the perils and miseries to again set foot on firm and stable earth." And so, you know what? We weren't there, but William Bradford was there, and he wrote in his journal. So we have his journal to be used as a resource to glean from his writings. I want to go on and say something else that he added in his journal. He said this, another quote. He said, "But I cannot but make a pause at the poor people's present condition. They now had no friends to welcome them, nor inns to entertain or refresh their weather-beaten bodies, no houses, much less towns to seek comfort in. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace?" This was one of the pilgrims that landed here. There were no houses. There were no inns. There was snow on the ground when they arrived. That was November. Is it a little cold out there today? I saw snow in Macungie. I think it was Friday night. It was snowing pretty heavy and sleet. And so that sea journey had been long and hard, and the winter was setting in. They searched over the area. Originally, they actually decided to take the ship and look for a place to land a little bit south, but the rocks and the shoals kept them from doing that. So they ended up back back at Plymouth. That's where they landed. They planted. They decided to go back to the harbor, where they could move inland. They felt that they would be protected at the harbor, and they actually landed at Plymouth. That was one of the questions that you answered. That was Plymouth. They named it after the seaport that they left in England, and it was William Bradford who gave the Puritan separatists the name of Pilgrim. He used that phrase, Pilgrim. And it was also William Bradford who became the very first governor of that colony. And so William Bradford compared this group that was coming from England. They were seeking religious freedom, and they wanted a better place to be able to raise their children the way that they felt that they should raise them. He compared them to the Israelites who were leaving bondage in Egypt. That's who he was comparing them to. And so Mr. Bradford took that term pilgrim straight out of scripture. Hebrews 11, 13 and 14. It says this, they all died in faith, talking about the hall of faith, the people of faith. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is talking about the Israelites. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. The Israelites were seeking the promised land. And so these pilgrims were also seeking a homeland. And so Bradford was comparing his pilgrims to the Israelite pilgrims who were seeking freedom and a better land. They wanted freedom. They wanted freedom. And so that first winter was wicked. It was a wicked one. The pilgrims were poorly equipped. They lacked food. They lacked hygiene. They lacked shelter. And all that brought on disease. And so, but you know, even with all that, they possessed a great amount of courage to continue to stay. And so by the end of that first winter, 46 of the 102 pilgrims died from disease. 46 of them. Of the 18 women on board, 13 died. The first female casualty was actually William Bradford's wife. She fell overboard into the icy waters. You know, you hit those old waters like the Titanic, you don't survive very long. And so of the 31 children, 11 died. Of the 36 crewmen of the Mayflower, about half of them died also. And when spring arrived, a Native American Indian named Somerset walked in into their settlement. He knew a little bit of English, not very much. So 2 days later, Somerset comes back and he brings another Indian who was very fluent in English, which was one of the answers to your questions. And his name was Squanto. And Squanto, he was actually a lifesaver to the pilgrims. Without him, they probably wouldn't have survived. Well, there's a whole story which we've taught from the pulpit about Squanto. I wasn't going to go into that today, but you can actually look it up yourself. His story is amazing. It kind of reminds me of you know Joseph in the Bible, who gets sold into slavery, ends up in prison for years, and he ends up saving his own people. Squanto has a similar kind of story, very similar. It was all God for everything that happened in Squanto's life. But he helped teach them how to plant crops. You know, these pilgrims, they were townspeople. They didn't know how to survive in the wilderness. But Squanto did. He taught them how to plant crops. He taught them how to hunt and fish. He taught them, like, you know, which berries were edible and which ones will hurt you. He was very instrumental. He intervened. You know, there were many Indian tribes, and he intervened for them. And so one of those tribes was called the Wampanoag tribe. That tribe actually donated food to the pilgrims so that they could survive that first winter. Without that, they likely would have starved. And Squanto, he was that divine connection. He was the connection. So he was an important factor in the Pilgrim's survival. Without Squanto, history would probably have had to be rewritten. He was significant. And so, you know, if you research Squanto's life, I wasn't going to go into all of that about him, but if you check out, just go, you know, pull it up on your phone. You can do everything on your phone these days. You can pull up what his life was like, all the things that happened to him, how he was captured and taken to England. He was to be a slave. You know, that happened to him several times. How he came to learn the English language while he was there. How he was the only one that was spared from his entire tribe. All the rest of his tribe died from disease. He was the only one spared because he was taken out. He was removed. He was taken to England. And interesting story how he became a Christian. Squanto was a Christian. Yes, this all has the hand of God on it. I'm telling you, it does, guys. All that played into why the pilgrims were able to survive. God had his hand in it. And it was just interesting that Squanto just happened to be there at the same time that these pilgrims needed him. It was just all God. But anyway, I do want to share what William Bradford said about Squanto in his journal. I have that up here. William Bradford declared Squanto to be a special instrument sent by God to help them survive that first winter. You know, we weren't there. But William Bradford was there, and he was able to share. So we can kind of see through the eyes of William Bradford into that first Thanksgiving and what took place there. So Mr. Bradford said that Squanto was sent by God, and I absolutely agree with him. Had to be. Not all these coincidences could have happened to get it all to come together. And so if you study the life of Squanto, it reminds me of the story of Joseph in the Bible. You know, he was sold into slavery, he was put into prison, and he ends up saving his people. And the same thing happened, similar with Squanto. It has all the markings of God on it. It's just an interesting read. And so when the crops came in that Squanto helped the pilgrims plant, the pilgrims felt confident that they could survive the next winter. They were, the captain of the ship would, you know, beg the pilgrims, you know, come on, let's go back to England. And they were confident they could stay, that this was God, God will take care of them. And so, and God did, they survived. And so these pilgrims decided to hold a feast to celebrate their survival, to celebrate the hand of God on their whole journey. And so at that first Thanksgiving, there were about 50 pilgrims. There were about 91 Native Americans. That first feast took place in the fall of 1621. The feast actually lasted for 3 days. It was a 3-day feast. Could you handle that, guys? You know, after one feast of turkey, I like want to take a nap. You know. Thank you. That's one of the elves back there. Thank you, Nancy. Oh, yeah, we do. I think we do. And so they enjoyed a variety of food. Someone was asking about the food. They had duck. They had geese. They had wild turkey. They had deer meat. I'm not a fan of deer meat, but I know some of you guys love it. They had cod. They had bass. They had Indian corn. They had berries. A whole bunch of other things, too. During that 3-day celebration, they had competitions. They would have bow and arrow competitions. They would have musket shooting competition. We have competition also on Turkey Day, don't we? But that takes place on a football field, right? Okay. And so through that all, they the whole thing, all of it was about giving thanks to God for everything. It was to give thanks to God. That's the main reason for this holiday. I know a lot of people tend to forget that, you know, as they hustle and bustle through the grocery stores to, you know, get all the food for their family fixings. But the main purpose for this holiday is to give thanks to God, which was what we're doing today. And so I want to share a little bit from that that Thanksgiving proclamation that President Lincoln wrote, that he proclaimed back in 1863. I think we have that up on the screen. I don't have it word for word. I took snippets out of it that I felt would be very pertinent for this message. Now, you got to remember, this proclamation was written during the Civil War, during the bloodiest war on our soil. This is the proclamation that President Lincoln wrote. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings and fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Mr. Lincoln very clearly identified the purpose for this holiday: to give thanksgiving and praise to God. That's the purpose of it. That's why those first pilgrims who sojourned to this country, that's what they did on that first day, that first Thanksgiving day. They were giving thanks to God. And it was their commitment to God and to His Word, to biblical ideas, their thoughts on freedom. Those are the ideals. Those are the things that sprouted a century and a half year later, 56 men to go to Philadelphia to boldly sign the Declaration of Independence. Those 56 brave men, that they were the Pilgrims' legacy. They were following in their footsteps. And that birthed our nation. It birthed our nation. And it's that same freedom that is bequeathed to our generation and to the generations after us if we are diligent to maintain the freedoms that we have. We need to protect that. We can't take our freedoms for granted. You know, they've been trying to take our freedoms. Oh, these last 2 years, we've seen that being taking place. We'll talk more about that next week. But we have a responsibility to maintain the freedoms that were purchased and established in this nation by our founding fathers, and that includes the Pilgrims. We're including the Pilgrims. It was President Ronald Reagan that made this quote. It's a famous quote, and I want to share it here. President Reagan said this. He said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for. It must be protected and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States, where men were free." The Pilgrims came here for freedom, and our founding fathers who wrote and signed the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, they also were for freedom. They all risked and sacrificed their lives and for that freedom and for the ability to raise our children in the freedom that we should have to do that without government telling us how to do it. And so actually that is the correct application of separation of church and state.
Absolutely.
That's the correct definition. You know, not as the woke left in this country tries to shove down our throats. These were our forefathers who settled in this country. It's for spiritual freedom. And so because these pilgrims made the Lord their God, because they praised God, because they honored him and they gave thanks to him, that's why I believe that this nation is blessed. And the psalmist in Psalm 33:12 says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation. You know, we keep the blessings of God flowing by honoring God as our Lord. We keep those blessings flowing. And so Thanksgiving is a holiday to do just that. We're to give thanks and praise to God. There are some that would like to cancel Thanksgiving. There's an institution of higher learning in Buffalo, New York, that says that we should cancel Thanksgiving. So many of the woke culture wants to cancel. They want to cancel our American history. Actually, they want to rewrite it to say what they want it to say. But you know what? We have documents. We have journals, like the one that William Bradford wrote. We weren't there, but he was. So we have the historical documentation that tells us about our history and how we were founded. William Bradford's journal writings and others are historical proof of a time that we weren't there to witness, but they were. And so we can see it through their eyes. That first generation of American pioneers, they faced an unimaginable amount of risks and hardship, you know, getting on aboard that Mayflower, but they refused to turn back to England, even when things got really tough. They refused to go back. They were steadfast. They lost a number of them that first winter, but they persevered, and they got the victory. And so we have to have that same spirit of perseverance, guys, especially at such a time as this. We need that same spirit of perseverance, that same dedication to God and to freedom if we're to keep America free and if we want to maintain the blessings of God on this nation. You know, we have a strong godly heritage in this nation. Don't let the woke left tell you we don't. We do, absolutely. And so our national identity and our fundamental ideals, they've been under attack recently. But the evidence of the godly men and women that came here for freedom, that's our proof. That's our evidence. You can't change it. They cannot change our history. It's already written. It's already documented. They came here for freedom to worship God. Their courage, their conviction, their sacrifice, their perseverance, their faith, all of that laid the foundation for the United States of America. And so may each of us hold that same faith, that same courage, that same conviction for freedom, that same willingness to sacrifice and persevere. Whatever comes our way, we know that we've already got God. He's got us. So we don't have to be worried. And so Thanksgiving is about giving thanks and praise to God. And it's our responsibility to maintain that freedom to be able to do that. It's our responsibility. We'll talk more about that next week, but I want to close in prayer. And we're going to going to be setting up our sanctuary now to break bread together. We're going to be removing chairs, so we'll use all hands on deck to do that and bring in the tables, and we're going to be preparing for our feast. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the tenacity, for the stick-to-itiveness, Lord, of those pilgrims to persevere through all kinds of hardship. We thank you, Father, for their dedication to you and to your word. We thank you, Father, for providing all that they needed to get here, to survive here. Amazing how you brought them together with Squanto at just that right time. And what you did in Squanto's life to bring him to that place as a Christian, to help them, to even know the English language, and to know all his survival skills in the wilderness that he needed to share with those pilgrims who really didn't know how to do that. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. It's so clear to me that your hand was upon this nation from the get-go. I thank you, Father, that the United States of America has been a light to all other nations. They're knocking down our borders to get in. I thank you, Father, for the greatest nation on this planet. Help us, Lord, to stand up with the same tenacity, with the same faith that those pilgrims had, and our the founding fathers that signed our founding documents, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we might have that same faith, same tenacity, Lord, to stand for and declare freedom that you desired for us to have. Lord, we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise for all that you have done for us. Most importantly, we thank you for sending your son Jesus, who went to that cross, who paid the price. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. We owed it, and he paid that debt for us. And for those who receive that payment, those who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and repent from their sins, Lord, we thank you. We thank and we give you praise for life abundantly in your kingdom. We thank you for all this in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.